Well, good morning and welcome to our worship service for Sunday, March 22nd, which I am recording on Saturday, March the 21st. In order to bring a worship experience to us, we've decided to go with a pre-recorded format. So there's only a few people in the room right now. Myself to talk to you. Mike Parrington is in the sound booth and he's doing the recording. He's going to be working hard for us over the next few weeks as we go with this format. He's going to need to record, gather recordings from other people, assemble them into one, and then post them up on YouTube for you to be able to see. So, Mike, we really appreciate all that you're doing for us in that way. But I trust even as we're meeting at different times, you can watch this anytime and from different places, I trust that the Holy Spirit is with us and will be with us even where we are, where you are. I am really missing the Sunday morning fellowship before I get into the pulpit. The handshakes and smiles and hugs in the foyer and conversation and greeting one another and seeing how each other is doing. I really miss that interaction. I think that social interaction, that human camaraderie is a gift from God, and there's real power to it. And I am missing that, and I trust and hope that you're missing that too, although we're going to make do with what we do have. We're going to be going with this different kind of a format, pre-recorded services. It's what we have technologically available to us, and we think we can pull this off. So thank you for joining us. Why are we doing social distancing and needing to do worship this way? It's for two good reasons. One is personal health, our responsibility for personal health, and we need to be careful when there's a very contagious virus out there. We need to be careful that our own health is not put at risk, and so it's important that we're careful with that. But also a respect for our healthcare system, and those in the know and those in charge have alerted us that we want to make sure we're not overrunning the system with too many cases all at once of the COVID-19. So we want to be careful with that. So we're doing all this social distancing, therefore our worship experience this week is coming to you in a very different format. So thank you for logging in, for joining in, for getting on YouTube and watching. I trust that you're watching with your family and will experience fellowship even that way as we are together but separately. This morning you're going to see some different friendly faces from our congregation as we will have some worship songs, we will have some kids moments, and we will have a greeting from a lovely couple in our church too. Let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, we do thank you for the provisions that you give to us. We thank you for watching over us and giving us safety even in troubling times. Lord, I pray for our congregation. I pray you would keep each one safe. Lord, we pray that you would help to bind us together, even though we can't physically be present with one another. Give us still yet a sense of fellowship, a sense of being the church together, a sense of being called into unity one with another, and a sense of your peace and your presence in difficult times. Lord, we give ourselves over to you. And in this day and in this format, we do worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello, Peterborough Free Methodist Church family. It's Erin.
And Liz.
And we're going to be worshiping with you. So we're going to do a few songs. We're going to start with What a Beautiful Name in the key of D. So if you want to play along, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
We're going to be singing Lord, I Need You in the key of C.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be able to have this opportunity to share a little bit about ourselves in this current situation. And I hope all of you are taking the necessary precautions that we need to take during these difficult times. I just want to say there's a lot of scary stuff that's being spread around the media right now, and it's creating a lot of fear. But we're not to fear. We don't need to panic, for God's word says, Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit." That's an excellent word for us right now. We're not to fear, we're to place our hope and confidence in God alone. And He will get us through these difficult times as we have to isolate ourselves. But that doesn't mean we're not concerned. So I wanted to ask Ashley, given her situation, what she's feeling like right now.
I'm feeling a bit worried. But because I have a lower white blood cell count than the average person, it makes me more susceptible to catching illnesses. But in that, I still trust God to get me through the tough moments. I've had many ups and downs through these past years with the illness that I'm dealing with. But I see God through it at each step, and He gets me through every moment. may not be in my timing, but in God's timing. And he's always here, he's walking with us, and he won't abandon us.
So, you know, that's what we've always had to lean on, is in difficult times that we've had to deal with over the last few years, is just knowing that God is with us and he's walking step by step with us. But even in that, you might be wondering, what's changed for us in this time of having to be isolated away from people? So one of the things Ashley was getting, PSW coming in twice a week to help her shower and stuff, and we've had to say no to that for right now, because we're trying to limit the amount of people that are coming in and out of our apartment. Most people are pretty sensitive to that, so for the most part, people are not visiting very much, but it is nice during the time that we live in that there is, you know, there we can make phone calls or people are sending emails. So that way we're able to stay connected. One of the other things that has changed for us is Ashley's doctor's appointments. Instead of going to the office for visits, everything has become either online video calls or phone calls. So that keeps all of us safe. And Ashley's doctor in the States, we have a last visit with her in April, and it's going to be a video conference. And unfortunately, we will be losing her as our doctor, as she's going to be closing her office permanently at the end of May. But we trust that God will lead us to new doctors, and we'll receive the treatment that Ashley needs. But I also wanted to encourage each one of you, even though our church family has to be separated, that doesn't mean that we can't still be connected. You know, we do have emails, we do have phones, we can call each other, we can write letters and send them in the mail. It may take a little bit longer to get to people, but it's just a few ways that we are able to stay connected. And it's also a great way for the church as a whole to shine in a time of need for everybody. You know, if we hear of needs, we can try to meet those needs as best as we're able to, you know, taking the necessary precautions with, you know, sanitizers and masks and gloves and trying to keep distance. But we as a church can try to help others that really do need the help. We just kind of wanted to say hello, and I'm sure a lot of you were curious to see how we're doing. But I just want to close with one other scripture that has really helped us stay focused. And it's Romans 15:13. Some of you probably know it, but it says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." This time that we live in, it is not a time for us to be in fear, but to stay diligently on God's word, to search his word, and to continue forward in confident trust in him. And that's my prayer and encouragement for all of you. And I just thank you once again for this great opportunity to do this little video for you. And I pray that it touches you and a lot of you will be able to see it. And we just want to say thanks again for all your love and support over these years. And yeah, I guess that's it.
Yep.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Pastor Holly here. I don't know about all of you, but I am so bored. And I am tired of being at home. I've been so bored. I literally have made my own friend, Meet Sock Puppet Sam.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, Pastor Holly. What's up?
Oh, Sam, I'm going crazy here. I miss all my friends at church, thinking about all of the fun we'd be having together right now. I don't know what to do.
You need to pull yourself together, girl.
What do you mean?
Well, just because we're not at church doesn't mean that we can't be the church.
What? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You're the pastor.
Oh.
Tell them.
Right. Oh, well, it does kind of remind me about a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16.
What does it say?
Well, it says, you realize, don't you, that we are the temple of God and that God himself is present in you.
He's present in you?
He is. God is present in me and he's present in each of us if we have chosen to follow him. And, well, you know, really, if Jesus is in us, it doesn't matter where we are. He's with us, and we're still the church. I might not be able to get together with people, but I can still encourage people and do things.
Yes, you can.
I can make phone calls. I could write letters.
Yep.
I could even call a friend or send a video of a dance party.
Dance party.
And we could just praise Jesus together. There's all kinds of ways that we can still be the church, even if we can't go to the church.
Yep, preach it, sister.
Oh, thank you so much, Sam.
Oh, you.
I've got to get busy. I've got so much to do. I've got to go so that we can be the church that Jesus wants us to be. Bye, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you. Bye, guys.
So, church, I want to bring you some announcements this morning as well, and really quite a lot of updates and what we are trying to do as a church, as church leadership, in the face of all that's going on. We've had our leaders meet in several different formats this week, and it's the staff and the official board and our ministry team leaders, total of about 16 people, and they've met several times online to connect, to think, to discern, and to pray. We're taking advice, of course, from the government, which is at this point stating that groups are not to be meeting of more than 50 people. But even beyond that, they're saying take extra care. Don't even meet in groups of people together. And so we're taking that seriously. We also got a statement from the Bishop of the Free Methodist Church in Canada. Reverend Cliff Fletcher is his name. And he has put an alert out, all Free Methodist churches in Canada are to shut their services for Sunday, March 22nd, and the two following Sundays. So for at least those three Sundays, all our churches are to not be meeting together and having to think about worship in different ways and creative ways. So those are statements that have come down to us. We're taking those things seriously. And thinking about, well, then how do we continue to be the church together if we can't be meeting together, either on Sunday or in other groups through the week? So our leadership team of 16 broke down into some planning and discernment groups, and there are four sub-teams met through the week. We used teleconferencing. So people connected on their computer so we could see one another. Some joined in by telephone because it has the capacity to do that. And we met in these sub-teams. The first one that met was to talk about worship and what does worship look like. And we ran through a few different ideas of what that could look like. We thought about live streaming. Could we just assemble on this Sunday morning, the speakers and worship team and those kinds of things, and stream it live so that you could log in, watch it while it's happening, while we're here at the church and hosting it. But live streaming adds a layer of complexity to the technology and really needs a very strong, solid Wi-Fi connection for that to be able to happen. And there's just a lot more things that can go wrong that way. We wondered if maybe also Sunday morning needs to look more like a login discussional time. Maybe it's fireside chat with the pastor or something along those lines. But we thought, well, that would be missing a lot of worship components, and it's probably not really the way we want to go for Sunday morning. That might be an idea for a midweek thing, but not for Sunday morning. So we decided that we had the capacity, the technology, the know-how for pre-recorded material. So that's what we wanted to do. We were really aiming for having familiar faces, having our church family ministering to our church family in the way of worship. So you're going to see that through today's service. And it affords us some flexibility. People don't have to come to the one building, to the one camera to be recorded. They can be at home and record a greeting or a testimony. They could be at home and record a song. They could do things like that. And then we can have those clips assembled together into one stream and uploaded on YouTube to be presented that way. So that was our worship group. And that's the discussion they had, and that's the solution that they've come up with. A second group that met was a connecting team. Essentially, what we're recognizing is without the church getting together physically, we are missing a lot of what we benefit from in being a church together. And so how do we replicate that? What can we do when we miss Sunday foyer time? Well, the chief means of connection is no mystery, and we've had it for years and years. We can call one another, and we really encourage the church to be calling each other. If you're thinking of someone, if you're quarantined at home and a little bit bored, and don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give somebody a call. Look through the church directory, be praying through the church directory, think about others and contact them that way. It's an easy way to make a connection, and it's a great way to make a connection, and you can do that. Other technology offers other possibilities too, of teleconferencing and Facebooking and emails. You can write a letter, all those kinds of things to be in touch with one another. But it will take all of us being intentional and purposeful and taking the initiative and reaching out to someone else. But we also want to be somewhat intentional about it too. So what we've done is we've thought about getting some names together and having those people make sure to contact everyone in the church directory. So we aim that everybody in the church directory gets contacted at least once a week as this is all going on. So you could be looking for a phone call or some kind of other creative connection from someone in our church. And we hope that you're inspired by that and you would reach out to others as well. The connecting group also thought about our small groups. We have four of them. We have a men's group that meets on Thursdays. We have a ladies' group that meets on Thursdays as well. We have a Sunday morning group that meets before our worship service. We have the pastor's Bible study that meets. We have other social groups that meet as well. What do we do with these groups? Do they just dissipate for the time that we're in social distancing, or what happens with that? So we're going to talk to all the small group leaders this coming week, and we're going to see what they're comfortable with in leading in this time. And so you can look for more information about that to come. We also talked about making sure that we're putting out regular communications to the church. So I've been trying to put out every few days an email update. We'll be updating you on Sunday mornings. We've also thought about an hour with the pastor online, and we're going to do that this week. This week at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. I'm just going to log on to Zoom. I'll make sure that through an email you have that the Zoom login. Zoom is a teleconferencing software that we're using. It's really quite easy to use. All you have to have is a computer and a web browser, and that will log you on. You don't need to install anything else. You don't need to install software or an app. You can just join in through your web browser. Or you can telephone call in. Now, with a telephone, nobody's going to see your face. You won't see anybody else's face, but you can at least be in on the conversation, listening and contributing. But on Wednesday, I'm going to log into Zoom, and it'll just be open for anybody who wants to join in. Welcome to come on in, chat. We'll get updated. We'll catch up with one another. Maybe we'll spend a bit of time in prayer. Maybe you've got some questions you could ask. And I'll do my best to answer them. So just sort of an open forum hour on Wednesday evening for us to connect together and you to be able to connect with the pastor. So that was our connecting team that met and the things that they talked about. The third group that met was the crisis care group. At least those are the things that they were thinking about and talking about. So for example, hospital visits. What are we going to do with hospital visits? We've been advertising. We want to know when people are in the hospital because we want to make sure that we're assisting and visiting and praying with and those kinds of things. Well, what happens in this social distancing? What do we do with hospital visits? Right now, volunteers are not allowed in the hospital anymore. So all of our volunteers that have been going cannot go. And even family visits are restricted now to one person and only in certain areas of the hospital. Only one visitor per patient. And so those are the restrictions that are on at the hospital. So what do we do in this environment? Well, so far, clergy are unaffected. And I am able to go to the hospital and visit as necessary. So please let us know still. If you or someone you know ends up in the hospital and would like a visit, I can do that. I can still do that. I can still go, and I'd really like to. So please let me know if you or someone else is in the hospital. And what do we do with shut-ins? People at home who can't get out, people who are in care homes and can't get out. We have a regular shut-in visitation team. Well, what happens when we can't go into those places anymore? And what happens when we should not be going into somebody's home? Well, we're going to be making phone call visits. That's going to be the solution. It'll just be a touch by phone call and making sure that we're doing that and keeping connected with those very valuable people. And then we thought about, what about people in crisis? So our world's kind of afraid right now. And what do we do for people who are really burdened with fear and anxiety? Oh, what can we offer them? We're thinking about that. We're talking that through. We don't have an established plan yet, but we are talking that through, what we could potentially provide. What about financial? There may be people who are going to be experiencing job losses in all of this. What about families within our church who may be in financial crisis because of all that's going on with the COVID-19? How can we help out? Well, first we need to know. So please, if you or someone you know is experiencing some financial crisis due to all this, please let us know. And at the very least, we can be praying, but we can see how else we may be able to support as well. And then there are people who are self-quarantining or quarantined or is unable to get out for whatever reason, and maybe they need people to run errands for them, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy, whatever, and bring stuff back to them. So if that's you, please don't hesitate to call and say, hey, you know, I would just really need some help in this way. We don't want anybody to suffer alone and suffer in silence. So please let us know, keep us informed, and we'll see what we can do to help. There's lots of lovely and helpful people in our church that are willing to reach out if we alert them to the need, but we need to know the needs. The fourth team, and it's going to meet this afternoon. Again, this is Saturday, March 21st. So this afternoon, an outreach team is going to meet. And the real trigger for this team, Pastor Holly mentioned to me, we serve breakfast at Otonabee Valley School every weekday when school is open. The kids come to the breakfast. They need the breakfast that they get at the school. In a shutdown, what's going to happen with those kids and in those family situations? And so it just began to get us thinking about, well, what do we do and what can we do for them and maybe for others and in other ways? And so we're going to have a team that's going to this afternoon just think a little bit about that and how do we as a church continue to think about the community around us and not only about ourselves and our own problems, but how do we still be reaching out? So that's a concern for us. Now, how long will all of this last? How long are we going to need to do worship services by pre-recorded online? How long are we going to need to not be meeting in small groups and have social distancing and all those things? And of course, you know that the answer is nobody knows. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch very closely the decisions that school boards make and see when they begin to get comfortable with calling students and teachers back into the classroom. So we're gonna watch that, and of course we'll be watching Health Canada announcements and seeing their advice and what they're telling us. But we will be prepared, and we will continue on being the church, whether it lasts for a few weeks or longer. And we will adjust, we will go with the flow, we will do what's necessary, we will continue to discern the will of God, and we will see where He steers us and where He directs us, and we will follow His lead, and we will continue to be the church together. So that's the story of where we've been this last week, meetings that have gone on, things that we've thought about, things that we've prayed about, and those leadership people are still thinking about those things. And this coming week, we'll continue to have more meetings by teleconference and be thinking these things through. And we're going to try our best to keep you updated as things develop. So, actual announcements. Please call one another. I reiterate this. Be praying through the church directory. Be thinking about others in the church. Remember that others may be feeling isolated and may be feeling shut in and locked in and maybe feeling socially disconnected. Pick up the phone. Give a call. Just a friendly call. Hey, so-and-so calling from the church, and I just wanted to say hi. I was thinking about you this week. Prayed for you a little bit earlier, wondering how you're doing. Good to chat. Thanks. Bye. That's all it needs to be. But please do. And if everybody's doing that a little bit, you know, our church is going to have lots of fellowship going on, even if we can't be together in purpose. Again, I'll remind you of the open hour with the pastor, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So be watching for our announcements email, and in there will be the link to the Zoom meeting that you can follow through your computer's web browser or the web browser on your phone, although the phone, your smartphone would require a Zoom app to be downloaded onto it. Or you can just call with any telephone, a cell phone or a landline, and connect in that way. But I'll give you connection information through an announcements email that will come later today, which is Saturday, March 21st. Pastor Holly has already created a Facebook group for families with kids, so families can connect that way and share ideas about fun things and different things to do with your children while they're at home, and ways for them to connect together. So if you've got kids at home, then please be looking for that Facebook group. And again, if you need anything like groceries, errands, run, please let us know so that we can help out. Have you been laid off? Do you know someone else has been laid off and they're okay with you sharing that information with us? Then please let me know and we'll see if there's anything that we can do. And then lastly, we need to talk about how to give tithes and offerings to and through the church. So one way is simply mail in. Please don't put cash in the mail. That's never a good and advised idea. But checks, certainly, you could put into the mail. And we're going to be having an online giving solution. It'll be called Tithely, and there will be links through the website, and there will also be information about that in our announcements email, and it'll tell you a little bit more about how to connect that way. So those are all the announcements. I know that's a lot of information, but it's been a lot of meetings as well. These 16 people who are the staff, the official board, and the ministry team leaders of our church, many of them were at multiple meetings, not just one or two, and they've put in a lot of extra hours this week to think about how we continue to be connected together as a church. So be appreciative of our leadership team. Know that they are working hard for you. And with all those announcements said, let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would keep us connected as a congregation. I pray that you would help us to have still a sense of fellowship, a sense of camaraderie, a sense of unity. Even though we may not see one another in the flesh very often, we can connect by teleconference means, and we thank you for the wisdom of these tools and the availability of them. But Lord, I ask that you would keep us united as your church, this people called to be Peterborough Free Methodist Church together. And Lord, we would have that connectedness to one another, but also we would still yet be thinking about those outside of ourselves. And how do we still contribute to the community around us and help those who are in need around us? Lord, give us creativity and discernment as we think about these things. And we continue to be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, we're going to be singing Good, Good Father in the key of D.
Jesus.
in all that's been going on in our world and self-quarantining and social distancing and all these kinds of things, I wonder if you've remembered that it's Lent. This is the fourth week of Lent. March 22 will be the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it's easy for that to get lost in all that's going on. You may have forgotten about Lent, and it's important. Lent is the 40-day period of time before Easter, which allows for and encourages some personal self-reflection, some self-examination. The examination of conscience is what the traditional church and the historical church has called it. A time when we think about ourselves, our relationship with God, where we are in our relationship with Him, and would He be pleased by us? Are there sins that we need to confess? All those kinds of things. Lent is a period of personal cleansing before the celebration of Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. So it is the period of Lent. Now, we haven't talked about it lots, focused on it lots, but our family has continued to give up the thing that we said we were going to give up for Lent. So we have not cheated on that. We've maintained that throughout. But one thing we did not, and maybe you did not predict too, it seems that we have given up church for Lent. We are not here in this building together during Lent, but it's an odd thing, but here we are in this season and still meeting together in a bit of a different way. Because we're aiming for social distancing, and this is making me more aware of things that I touch. Are you more aware of things that you touch? So I find that I go to the store and people are doing this. They're tucking their hands into their sleeves when they're opening the door, and they're propping it with their elbow, and you can't quite get there with your elbow to catch the door when it's closing on them. And so we're not touching doors, shared spaces with other people. And money, too. I find myself handing over some cash. My bare hand is touching it, giving it to the cashier whose bare hand is touching it, and then giving me change, their bare hand to my bare hand again. I'm thinking, man, I don't know who's touched this money. I don't know where this money's been. I don't know if it's been cleaned off. I'm sure it hasn't been. And I wondered if maybe I should get into some sort of money laundering service. But that has a whole bunch of other connotations that probably I should be avoiding. I'm hyper aware of coughs. Whenever somebody coughs, now I look over with a start. And if anybody sneezes, well, I'm not sticking around. I'm out of there. Just hyper aware of all these things that we might not have paid attention to very much before. Maybe we should have more in practice, but now very aware of these things. What I think, though, we need to do, even if we're doing social distancing, what we don't want is social isolation. Man, we can't be having that. That goes into too many negative directions and has too much negative connotation. Social distancing is fine. There's lots of different ways in which we need to be on our own, by ourselves, and they're healthy things. Quarantining. Quarantine is healthy. It's healthy for the patient because they're not going to catch anything from the caregiver. It's healthy for the caregiver because they're not going to catch anything from the patient. If quarantining happens, it's a healthy way and purpose for somebody to be quarantined off from others. A retreat setting. Retreats are healthy. Sometimes you need to get away from regular routines and go on a retreat, a men's retreat, a women's retreat, a work retreat, a study retreat, a spiritual retreat, an emotional retreat, a colleagues retreat, all kinds of retreat purposes, all with the same goal in mind. You're getting away from all the routines of everything and being separated off to focus on something else. Dream, plan, discerning, prayer, scripture, fellowship with friends, business planning, all these different purposes. good reasons to be on your own. Just solitude. The amount of people who tell me, you know, I connect with God when I'm out on the water, in the boat, and fishing. There's just something about solitude, being alone with just nature around you. It's healthy time. Meditation is an ancient practice, historical practice of the church. We actually probably don't do that enough. Evangelical Christianity has not tended to embrace meditation very well. We certainly haven't taken the advice of church history on this. Meditation, where you take some time and reflect on a certain scripture and read it over and over and let it speak to you in multiple different ways and multiple different levels and reflect on it and pray through it over a period of time, is good solitude behavior. And maybe reflecting on a prayer and repeating that prayer over and over and taking that time. Meditation, very healthy sense of being separated out. Sabbaticals too. Sabbaticals are another way that people become separated out from others. This is often people who are in a teaching capacity. They will take some time to go in and recharge themselves. When they're always giving, when they're always telling, they need to be refilled with new information, new experiences, new ideas. And a sabbatical for however long, few weeks, few months, half a year. Many professors do a whole year sabbatical, and it helps them to recharge. Lots of very important reasons for people to be segregated from others, in a sense, and to do other important things on their own. But what we don't want it to become is, we don't want all this to become isolation. Isolation drums up other images for me. Incarceration, confinement, separation, segregation, and isolation's brother, loneliness. These are the things that could happen, and we don't want them to happen. Think of the added stresses in these days on some of these folks from our congregation. Mr. Barclay Smith passed away last Sunday, and his family has had to think about the grief process and mourning and a funeral and graveside service and visitation, all in the context of this social distancing that takes its toll. Imagine being a family member who can't go to your own parents' visitation. These are emotionally distressing things. Imagine having to put off public grieving for an indeterminate amount of time, maybe weeks, maybe months. We don't even know. And this is a stress because of all that's going on this family. Marjorie Orbell is the wife of Eric Orbell. Well, Eric is in the hospital. He's been declining rapidly the last couple weeks in his old age. Marjorie told me this week that Eric now has pneumonia and now he's in palliative. And this is in the hospital context of there can only be one visitor. So there will be Marjorie sitting at the bedside of her husband Eric and doing that alone. No capacity for anybody else to be able to come and to visit and to sit with and to just be present. I am a firm believer in something called the ministry of presence. A human being with another human being, and just that sense of presence. I think the Lord is there when it's done in right reason. Marjorie will miss out on those things because of all the social distancing. Not that we shouldn't do that. It's necessary, but let's realize as a church there are some potential negative side effects of it. Alec Miliaris, he's been in the hospital as well. He's out now, but is he physically capable of being out? Well, he's not in. So but he's having difficulty being at home on his own. And he's got friends who like to come over and like to visit and help him out normally. But in these days, that's all more complicated. So here's somebody going through distressing time, and it just is that much harder because of all that's going on. Myrtle Finch is a lady who's part of our congregation, has been for years, in a care home, shut in the care home, normally, in normal weeks, but now extra so. They can't have visitors in their care home, none. Nobody can go in to visit her. So what Carol Crapp has been doing is she goes outside, and Myrtle comes to her window, Carol's on the outside of the window, and they see each other through the window, and some of the residents, they'll have family members do that, and then they'll call. Well, in what other context in our society is there a pane of glass, somebody on one side, somebody on the other side, and the two are talking to each other on a phone? When does that happen? That happens in prison. It's not that. It's not prison. But it's what it can feel like, and it can feel like entrapped. Isolation sets in when people are socially distanced. Those are some examples from our congregation, but all those who enjoy fellowship, the children who see one another on Wednesday evenings at Circle of Friends, the teens who see each other on Monday nights, the people who meet in the small groups, the fellowship on Sunday mornings before and after worship service. It's amazing sometimes how long people linger after a worship service on a Sunday, just hanging out with friends and talking in the church foyer. All those things are missed. And when those things are missed, isolation, loneliness can begin to set in. And the church is not about that. Here's what the church is about. In Acts chapter 2, this is an image of the church that you're familiar with, but let me read it to you. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. And it says, they, and that's the assembled believers of the very early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That picture is the exact opposite of social distancing, isn't it? Or at least it's the exact opposite of isolation. It's connectedness. It's together. It's unity. It's a body of believers, one with another. We, I believe, can do all of those things written in that passage, even if we have to take some time where we can't be physically in the same location at the same time. There's five things that were listed in that scripture passage. Fellowship was listed. I'm going to say it again. I'm not sure how many times this is in this recording, but make phone calls. Send emails. Some people in our church, they like to make cards. Make some cards. Mail them to people. Don't wait. Even do that now with whoever you're sitting and watching this video with. Do that now. Make a little bit of a list together. Who should we in our church call? Maybe even today, maybe this week. Make a little bit of a list together. A second thing that was mentioned was teaching. Teaching is one of the easy things to solve with technology. Years and years ago, my sister, who already had her undergrad degree, she got her master's in business, and she did that all through, they called it distance learning. Well, you know what distance learning is? Distance learning is using the internet to listen to a professor teach, and then using the internet to connect with the other students, have conversation online, and submit work and papers and reports online. That was all doable years and years. I think this is going back to the early 2000s when she did that work and did that degree. This is very possible. Teaching is very possible through technology. And so the pastor's Bible study, I can see that's something that we can do online in the very near future. Some of the small groups, those sorts of things. The teaching component is something we can do. Sharing. Well, how do we manage sharing of resources, time, and gifts to one another? Well, it will take having some people to coordinate that, and we do. They've already met this past week. They're thinking about these things. They're wondering how can we support people in financial crisis, in fear and anxiety crisis. How do we continue to be there for one another? How do we help when people need errands run and things like that? So those things are being coordinated by a group. What about communion? The breaking of bread in this passage is code for a shared meal together in which communion would be part. So it'd be a larger meal. It'd be the context of everybody eating together, and then at some point they would pause the meal, they would pause the eating, and they would take the bread and they would drink the cup, and they would continue on in their time of worship and fellowship and eating together. It was a whole environment. It was a whole thing that they did. Well, how do we do communion when we're not all here in the same room and taking our little cups and our little breads? Can we do communion in a different way when we're not geographically in the same spot? I think we can, and I'm going to think about in a couple weeks of organizing something like that. And prayer. Well, of course, prayer can happen regardless of whether we're in the same space or not. And again, I would encourage you, with whoever you're watching this video with, make a list. Who do you want to be praying for? How can you be praying for them? Use our church directory. Be looking through our church directory. And not everybody's in the directory. Are there others who you know of at the church who you need to be praying for as well? Are there neighbors, friends, family you could be praying for? Please make prayer a priority even now. It's another way for us to stay connected and stay united together as the body of Christ at Peterborough Free Methodist Church. Folks, I think it's vital for us to not lose sight of the fact that we are the church together, even if we are not in close physical proximity. And so in all of these ways, we will still remain His church. Let's pray. Father, in history, the church has faced many challenges, many different times when it would have been scattered. It would have been snuffed out. It would have been crushed. It would have not been able to do its function and not been able to do its job, except that your Holy Spirit inspired people, and except that there were people who listened to the Holy Spirit and went ahead with the work of your kingdom in this world. And that really is the church. It matters not that we are in a time where we have to do social distancing and use wisdom in that way. But we can still have fellowship together. Let us remain connected. Give us creative ways that we can connect with one another and keep those relationships strong. We can still pray. We can still learn from each other and learn from the scriptures. We can still commune together, Lord. And in all these things, we ask that you would be present, you would be ministering to us. Father, I want to pray for those who may be in extra fear and anxiety because of everything that's going on. Lord, let us remain confident in the assurance of your salvation first and foremost. When we are worried about an invisible virus that is very contagious and out there and can be very dangerous to people, especially who are extra vulnerable. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that they would not have a worry and anxiety moment by moment that they may become infected. We pray that good precaution and wisdom would prevail. But we ask, Lord, for your protection too, and that people would be able to rest assured in you that you are with them and that you comfort them. Lord, for those who may be going through financial crisis, we pray for wisdom in our world to take care of those who may otherwise be laid off and be in financial difficulty and hardship. I do thank you for some of the moves and announcements that our government has made. Some of these decisions seem to be wisdom and could be helpful to individuals and to families, and I pray that it would be. I pray that these compensations would not be taken advantage of and would not be used wrongly, but would be reserved for those who need it and who need it the most. And Lord, we pray that in that way and many others that you would provide. You would even provide through us, through Peterborough Free Methodist Church, for those who are in need. Lord, take care of people in this way, we pray. And we pray for those who are shut in and cannot be getting out even to do the simple tasks. Lord, help them not to feel housebound. Help them not to have cabin fever. Help them not to fall into depressions that come with isolation and loneliness. But Lord, let them receive help from different people. Let them be encouraged and inspired by the scriptures and by your Holy Spirit and by the love and the contacts from their church family. Father, we pray for some of these, especially among us, who are going through grief and mourning and loss, some who are in the hospital or in care homes, and all the added burden that's going on because of the virus scare, Lord. And we ask that you would encourage them and strengthen them and give them an extra measure of your grace and your presence. And Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our church and call us together as your people. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi again. We'll be playing Oceans in the key of D.
Yeah.
thank you, everybody, for tuning into YouTube and taking part in our worship experience together. I really do appreciate that you've taken the time to do this, and trust that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and to your family. So please take these calls to prayer and these calls to connect with your church family seriously. Pick up the phone, call, make those contacts. Pick up the church directory, be praying for those people who are in it. And as we part, know that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And we will do the same. Amen. Thanks for tuning in.